And we'll move to the last one for today, which is Fuller and Pinella versus Carollo. Mr. Cuny? Well, we'll wait to get him on. Mr. Scott's going to stay with us, and we're going to have Mr. Gutchess also join us.
Your Honor, I'm on. I'm trying to start my video.
Okay. Just hold on a moment. Judge Choflat has stepped away for a moment, so
no, I'm here. Chief, I'm here.
Oh, Judge Hull has stepped away for a moment. I'm sorry.
She's back.
The video displays change, and I lose track of who's in what box. I cannot hear Judge Hull, though, at all, and she may have it muted.
I do not have it muted. You can't hear me at all?
Barely now.
And Your Honor, I'm getting a message that says you can't start your video because the host has stopped it.
Well, we have custom live streaming service, I show, and I see everybody else. Mr. Maycock?
Okay.
Oh, there we go. Now we have Mr. Gutchess.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Mr. Cuny.
Good morning, Your Honors. With co-counsel Tom Scott, I am Ben Cuny, counsel for City of Miami Commissioner Joe Carollo, who challenges the denial of his qualified and legislative immunity defense to a civil rights claim alleging First Amendment retaliation. This is a classic qualified immunity case for a local municipal official who stands in a policy-making body, not an executive function authority. The magistrate judge in the report and recommendation at issue in this case, docket entry 99, that was adopted by the district judge that became the order, found that Commissioner Carollo was acting in his discretionary authority. And I point out to the court, docket entry 99, page 21, and I'm quoting, "Therefore, in his ardent reporting and investigation of potential code violations as alleged, Carollo was acting within his discretionary authority." Under the qualified immunity doctrine.
It does seem to me that at least some of your client's actions that they were, if I understand the city charter correctly, that some of them at least would have been outside his discretionary authority, that but for the purpose of inquiry, the city charter would not allow him to interact with and direct basically a lot of administrative staff of the city. Am I misunderstanding that?
Your Honor, the specific answer to your question found in Charter Section 4D says, and I'm quoting, "Except for purposes of inquiry, no right. orders can be made to subordinates." That's the portion Your Honor is speaking to.
Yeah.
In this case.
And the word inquiry back when this, you know, this law was enacted, what, by the legislature, what, 1925 or something like that? And today would be asking questions to elicit information. That's what that's about, right?
In a sense, Your Honor, here is why the complaint is insufficient to overcome the district judge's determination that the actions were within the discretionary authority. And I note, Your Honor, there is no cross appeal on that finding by the district judge, by the magistrate.
It doesn't have to be. We've got to determine whether the district court properly understood that question or not.
Of course, Judge. And the second aspect is in relation to the policy-making function of the city commissioners, not executive branch agency. The city commissioners' conduct was in the nature of fact-finding for purposes of enforcing the quality of life in his jurisdiction.
Insofar as the complaint alleges, though, that he was actually giving orders to and directing the conduct of subordinates of the city manager, that would be outside his discretionary authority, would it not?
It would only be outside his discretionary authority, Chief Judge, if the action taken by the enforcing authority, the executive branch agency, was not allowed to be taken. So, for example, directing or making inquiry to the code enforcement director, I think there's a violation of health, safety, and welfare at this holiday party. And the code director, having his subordinates take action, issuing code violations if found, or conducting an investigation, is entirely within the authority of a district commissioner whose job is to essentially act on behalf of the population in his district, to be the eyes and ears of his citizens.
But can he direct a person in the code enforcement division or whatever it is to go to the property site? Could the commissioner do that?
Yes, Your Honor.
He can tell the head of the agency to send somebody there?
For purposes of inquiry,
that's not an inquiry. An inquiry is eliciting information, asking questions. It's not directing some subordinate to go to a particular place and do something, is it?
Yes, Your Honor. For purposes of inquiry, asking an executive branch function, department director, to go to a location to determine what is happening is in fact authorized. At no time is there an allegation that Commissioner Carollo directed any official to issue a citation, arrest somebody, shut something down. It was for the purpose of seeking the information that had come to his attention. That is precisely what is allowed by a commissioner who has no authority to execute the laws or the authority of the municipality. So making inquiry in the form of seeking information to determine what is happening is precisely what is allowed within the city charter, precisely what Commissioner Carollo is alleged to have done. And as pointed out in the complaint, Commissioner Carollo did no conclusory conduct that was outside of his scope of authority, merely the initiation of inquiry or his own inquiry, walking around the commission, going to tenants, trying to find out what is going on. Since there is an absence of any allegation which goes to the plausibility prong that Commissioner Carollo acted in excess of his authority as a fact finder and policymaker, the complaint is simply insufficient to establish the plaintiff's burden once the judge has found this was within his broad discretionary authority. And as the court knows, the purpose of a commissioner's actions is not a factor in determining if the commissioner, the policymaking authority, is acting within his or her discretionary authority. That's the Harbert case cited in the briefs. So in applying this, the court uses the Holloman minimum level of generality. Is this conduct of making inquiry by seeking fact-finding as opposed to conclusory accusations within the commissioner's authority. It is, and because there is no direct connection to the First Amendment claim, remember, the only First Amendment claim comes pre-election, the allegation that the plaintiffs supported Commissioner Carollo's opponent. No single allegation while Commissioner Carollo is a commissioner of the plaintiff's exercise of their First Amendment expression. The magistrate judge and the district judge was incorrect in concluding the plaintiffs established their secondary burden to show that Commissioner Carollo did in fact infringe on their First Amendment rights, and that, most importantly, that infringement was in clear violation of known law. We have pointed out in the briefs that at no time have the plaintiffs cited a single case that is factually similar or even relatedly similar involving a policy-making authority. The police cases involving...
This looks a lot like Bennett v. Hendricks to me.
Your Honor, the Bennett v. Hendricks case is a classic law enforcement, police harassment, an executive branch agency where those executive branch officers are permitted and can, in fact, enforce authority, issue tickets, make arrests. Those cases are plainly distinguishable from the policymaking authority of municipal legislators, which is what Commissioner Carollo is. We've also argued legislative immunity applies because all the aspects of Commissioner Carollo's conduct...
As I understand it, your legislative immunity argument is really different from the one that you presented to the district court. The one that you presented to the district court accepted. Now you're trying to argue that there is legislative immunity for conduct beyond that which you had identified in the district court.
Your Honor, we have taken in the appeal the view that all of Commissioner Carollo's conduct is imbued in the legislative function.
That wasn't what you argued in the district court.
We did articulate several specific instances of conduct for which
the district court accepted were protected by legislative immunity.
Yes, Your Honor, and the argument extended to the entirety of the conduct as being imbued with the type of fact-finding.
I think we understand your case. So as I understand, is Mr. Scott going to take the rebuttal time?
Yes, Your Honor. Mr. Scott will handle rebuttal.
I see. Okay.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Gutches.
Yes, good morning, Your Honors. Thank you again. I'm Jeff Gutches. I represent the plaintiffs, appellees, William Fuller and Martin Pena. The allegations in this case show a legislator who was not acting as a legislator, but rather was acting as a self-anointed sheriff in violation of the Miami City Charter, and doing so to harass, intimidate, and destroy the business of the plaintiffs solely because they had supported his political opponent in a runoff election, and subsequently, after he was appointed, had filed an ethics complaint against
him. What is a specific constitutional violation that occurred after he took office?
Your Honor, all of the retaliation occurred after he took office.
I understand that, but what is the violation? What constitutional right?
The right, there's two of them, Your Honor. The first is the supporting of a political opponent that happened before he took office, and then the retaliation took place after. But the second one was filing an ethics complaint in March, 3 or 4 months later, which he further retaliated against once that ethics complaint was withdrawn.
Both of which your argument is that these are both in retaliation for his exercise of his First Amendment right to free speech.
Yes, absolutely, Your Honor. Let me just say that this case is about as straightforward as you can get. The court could simply adopt its opinion in Bennett or Bailey, and that would answer the case. The only thing, difference here is, as Mr. Cuny pointed out, is that Commissioner Carollo is not a police officer and was not acting with the discretionary authority of a police officer. Here, he is a commissioner. And as the court focused on, his role is limited. And I'd like to take a moment to look at the Miami City Charter, because Mr. Cuny said that except for purposes of inquiry, he may not give orders. That's not what it says. It says, except for purposes of inquiry, he shall deal with the administrative service solely through the city manager, right? It goes on to say that he may not give any orders to any subordinates of the city. There's no inquiry exception to giving orders to any of the city manager. And then it goes on to say that any such orders shall be a violation of the city charter and he shall be held criminally liable and could be removed from office. That is a very strict limitation on his discretionary authority. And Your Honor, if you read the complaint, which I've had the pleasure of reading again in the last few days, it's amazing
the pleasure of reading your own writing.
Once in a while, I get some things right. But if you look at this complaint and the allegations in there, there are so many detailed factual allegations of city officials testifying, stating that it was Commissioner Carollo that was not only giving orders, but was in fact harassing, calling them at the middle of the night, saying, get out there. And when they fought back, he was arguing with them. These city employees were afraid. They were intimidated into doing his work. And so—
Mr. Douglas, can you hear me? I have a question about your complaint. Can you hear me?
Yes, Your Honor, I can hear you very well.
Since you brought up your complaint, you had an amended complaint and the district court order that denied qualified immunity dismissed your amended complaint and gave you leave to file a second amendment complaint, correct?
Your Honor, I believe the district court, as to the amended complaint,
it granted the motion to dismiss the amended complaint, denied qualified immunity, and said leave to amend.
Correct.
That was on June 13th. You filed a notice of appeal on June 26th. And here's my concern. Then you filed a second amended complaint on 6/28. That's the complaint that is now there in the court. This is a procedural concern I had, and there may be a way to fix it, but the complaint that you, and your second amended complaint has some more allegations in it, more right. Facts, more damages. I've compared the two. My concern is that the complaint that you are now saying they denied qualified immunity to has been dismissed. So help me with this. It's gone. We have a second amendment complaint that got filed after the notice of appeal, and the other one was dismissed. I just don't know how to unwind that. So help me.
Your Honor, as a procedural issue,
I don't know why we don't have to send it back to the district court to make this ruling again on the second amended complaint. He might well do. You've amended it. We got an interlocutory appeal of the denial of qualified immunity as to the amended complaint that was also dismissed before the notice of appeal. And then after the notice of appeal, pursuant to the leave to amend, you filed a second one. Y'all can talk about this later or give me a letter brief or something. I don't know. Had you thought about that?
So, Your Honor, as a practical matter, of course, it was the defendants who filed the notice of appeal. It wasn't the plaintiffs. And I don't think that stayed anything in the
district. It was a denial of qualified immunity, right? And that's what they took an appeal from that, right?
Yes.
Was it a partial dismissal of the complaint, or was it a complete dismissal. I thought it was only a partial dismissal.
Partial dismissal. The district court upheld the claims against most of the claims against Commissioner Carollo. There was an exception.
And denied qualified immunity, and we have an appeal from that.
Exactly.
I thought the district court dismissed the whole complaint and said leave to amend it. Maybe this goes to your opponent that I don't know what he's got up here on appeal.
No, it's actually, the district court dismissed only as to the city of Miami and another co-conspirator, Mary Lugo. When we filed our second
amendment. Neither of whom were before us?
Neither of whom were. We did not add them back in as for the second amended complaint. We proceeded with solely the claims against Commissioner Carollo, which are almost identical to the amended complaint that's before the court. We added a letter from the City of Miami Police Commissioner where he said in writing that Commissioner Carollo was targeting these individuals unlawfully, and we added more detail as to damages. And the reason
none of that would be before us because that was not before the district court when it denied qualified immunity.
Correct.
Okay, I'm looking at the district court order. It is he orders that defendant Joe Carollo's motion to dismiss is granted as to the complaint, and the plaintiff should have leave to amend the complaint. So you're saying that was a partial dismissal?
Yes, Your Honor. That was definitely a partial.
So what the district court did was it adopted the magistrate judge's report and recommendation, right?
Yes.
And that report and recommendation had been for a partial dismissal.
Exactly.
That's the way I thought this had unfolded.
That's exactly the way it unfolded. So
the problem is whether or not our decision would be provisional. That's what the argument would be. Do you follow me?
No, I mean, I believe
under Article 3, we can't issue a provisional decision. That's what this is all about, the amended complaint problem.
Right. Yeah, you're as the court knows, we didn't really
have. In other words, it'd be a dry run. If you had another complaint down there that has the same claim, then the argument would be this is a dry run.
Right. Look, I don't
we
think.
Can't do that.
The subsequent amended complaint doesn't change in substance any of the allegations, and it's basically just on hold.
That's my understanding. The second amended complaint is not weaker.
Right.
With regard to the commissioner.
Exactly. Sorry. So back to the city charter for just a moment. I think it's important to read the whole charter to see where it outlaws the action at issue here, and then to compare it to the complaint where we discuss in detail the allegations where many, many city officials either testified under oath or told Mr. Fuller that these were not only orders by Commissioner Carollo, but they were actually for the purpose of political payback and retribution. So that's what makes this case somewhat remarkable. If you get, once you look at this, whether he's acting within his discretionary authority or not, I think you have two cases to look at. The first is Espinola Way from the Court of Appeals of the 11th Circuit in 1982. It's another Miami City Commission case. And the key quote is, under the qualified immunity analysis, quote, an undertaking of repeated harassment is not within the scope of the commissioner's discretionary authority, end quote. And the other case is, of course, the estate of Cummings versus Davenport, in which the prison official warden entered an end-of-life order in contravention of the law of Alabama that restricted such orders to certain individuals. And this court held that in doing so, that official had gone beyond his discretionary authority.
A very well-reasoned opinion.
Excellent. once we get to the Bennett case, the allegations of the Bennett case are remarkably similar. And so are the allegations of the Bailey case. And it basically talks about sheriffs or police officials following the plaintiff's surreptitiously surveilling them, trumping up charges against them, things of that sort. That's exactly what happened in this case. You can compare the allegations, and they are, you know, not identical, but you can't see any light between them. The only difference being that this was a commissioner, not a police officer. The significance of these cases is they help, you know, clearly and expressly that this form of retaliation is a clear violation of the United States Constitution. And they said it was back to 1998 that this has been settled law. And since 1998, you've had the Bennett case, you've had the Bailey case. And when we look at the other cases around the country, I mean, every single circuit has held it. This is clearly established, this type of conduct. There's no room to argue there's no knowledge or that this could possibly be a violation of the First Amendment. I don't want to take up too much time of the court. I see I have 2 minutes left, but I do want to say,
ask my question another way. Is the only complaint currently in this case the Second Amendment complaint? That is the operative complaint at this point in time. The Second Amendment complaint.
Your Honor, I don't know the answer to that. I mean, I believe if whatever this court holds will be applicable to both the amended complaint and the Second Amendment complaint. But in terms of what is operative or what is not, I don't know. We didn't have any choice but to file that in the deadline the district court had given us.
And the district court stayed the action afterward?
It did, Your Honor. The commissioner moved to stay.
After the Second Amendment complaint was fine, it stayed it.
Correct.
The Second Amendment complaint has other allegations of retaliation, more substantive allegations of retaliation.
Yes. Additional allegations later.
Expands the request for injunction. It does lots of things. It's fully restated. It's not an amendment to the prior one. It's a fully restated Second Amendment complaint.
Right.
And the case will travel on that complaint. Is that correct?
Yes, Your Honor. The case has definitely been expanded to include the additional allegations. So I'd like to close just by saying that, you know, this really is an important case because any order other than an affirmance of the district court is going to result in people being afraid to participate in politics, and we want them to participate. Mr. Fuller and Mr. Pania have been in Miami a long time, and they were afraid to outwardly support Alfie Leon because of Commissioner Corroyo's reputation for political retribution. They hosted these rallies and they did it surreptitiously, but it was on their property. So the commissioner knew it was them, and then he found Mr. Moreau, found Mr. Pania at the property, called him and he challenged him. And this is the exact type of conduct that we cannot allow in our democracy. We need people to be free to support the candidate that they choose without retribution from elected officials. Thank you.
Okay, we understand your case. Mr. Scott, you saved 5 minutes for rebuttal.
I just have a few points because I think the panel understands the case pretty well.
What do we do about Judge Hull's questions about, do we have a proper appeal?
Judge, I can only explain to you the status. What she did was she dismissed the complaint and threw out two of the defendants, left the allegations, most of the allegations against Commissioner Corroyo, but she also told them.
So it was a partial dismissal or not?
It was a full, I mean, she dismissed the case. There's no doubt about that and told them to refile, but it was largely along the line Mr. Gutchen said. It was basically to clarify the damages and things like that, because there was a question about had they asserted proper damages and things like that. So she wanted them to mop up that part, that aspect to it. She ruled on the qualified immunity issue, and they amended the complaint and filed it. And in the meantime, we had to take the appeal on the qualified immunity to the district judge or waive our objection. So that's what we did. I mean, that's the status of the case at the lower court level.
as a technical matter, then I guess the only other way it would properly get to us would be to reassert the defense of qualified immunity and have it denied again. But you're saying that the case is framed in such a way that it's the same. It would just be identical.
Yes, that's what I'm saying to the court. And I think Mr. Gutchen's interpretation was correct. We took the appeal because we had to. He amended the complaint he had to, and then the court stayed it, and that's why we're up here. But the major part, emphasis on the amendment, was on cleaning up the damages and things like that, because it was very unclear and it had been bunched together, and she didn't like that and she wanted it corrected. And so that's really what occurred, as I recall, in the lower court. Mr. Gutchen made the point about the dramatic effect of the chilling effect on his clients. The whole purpose of qualified immunity, as I read the case law, is just the opposite for the commissioner. It's to have the commissioner to have the ability to take action and do things. That's why qualified immunity is so important to people like Carollo. Carollo was concerned with had complaints. And this, a lot of this is documented in the documents attached to the complaint. There's a commission on ethics report. And it really does give plausibility to what the commissioner did in this particular case, because it substantiates a lot of the complaints that were really real against these particular plaintiffs. And it was that reason that Royal was out there to do it, was to make sure they were doing it correctly. On the issue of the charter, I mean, I think Mr. Cuny properly explained it. It's our position that under the charter, he can make inquiry, that's clear. And the inquiry he made was by contacting the different people at the different departments and asking them to go out and do these things. He couldn't order them to do it. He could ask them to do it. And that's what he did. He was performing his tasks as a legislature to investigate these matters for the clients. So I would say to the court that the issue of qualified immunity, the court found it was discretionary. We don't think the law is clear and that he was put on notice, and we think the qualified immunity should apply in this case. Thank you, Judge.
Thank you, Mr. Scott. We have your case, and that'll be our last argument this morning. We'll be in recess until tomorrow morning. Thank you very much.
Have a good day, folks.